All right, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And we are going to read the, you know, we've been in this for several weeks, and so we're going to be reading this together. Hang on, let me get my tablet ready here. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. So I want to read that for us, please. Galatians. We're going to be in Scripture a lot today. So hopefully you guys have a good reading voice, because I'm going to need all of you to read for me today. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 20. Excuse me, 16 through 25. Someone want to read that for us. Love it. Okay, so the quiz, we're going to do lots of quizzes today. What did Michael cover last week? Anyone remember? Patience. Excellent. So what is Matthew covering this week? Kindness. That's good. You got two for two. Well done. You know what's funny? Nick has talked about this from the pulpit twice. And does anyone know the fruit of the Spirit that he's forgot twice? When Nick has talked about it from the pulpit, he's forgotten the fruit of the Spirit when he names them. Anyone remember which one he's forgotten twice? It's patience. So funny. So every time Nick says it and he forgets patience, Sydney looks over at me and gives me a wink. That's so great. Like, yeah, that's the one I struggle with too, Nick. I just leave it out. So we're going to be covering kindness today. And I think this is incredibly apropos based off of the next 10 days that we're about to have together as a nation, right? What's happening in 10 days? Election. 9 days. Thank you. And so when we look at the fruits not of the Spirit, there's a whole bunch in there that we see that are really manifested during election season, don't we? Divisions, envy, rivalries, dissension, anger. There's a whole bunch of there, a whole bunch in there. So I think as we go through and get to the election season, boy, really good for us to chew on the fruits of the Spirit. Yeah, Casey. The flesh. Yes, true. Good point. Actually, Casey, you and I didn't talk about this earlier, but that brings me to my first point. Well done, sir. So, Michael covered this last week, and I think it's really important to reiterate the three truths that I'm going to say about the fruits of the Spirit. Okay? Casey named the first one, which is the first truth is this is a product of the Spirit's ministry. Okay? The fruits of the Spirit are the product of the Spirit's ministry. It is not the product of law, and it is not an imitation, right? These are not just the outward pieces. These are inward pieces of the fruits of the Spirit, and they are a product of the Spirit of God. Number two, the fruits are evidence of individuals abiding in Christ. Okay? Evidence of individuals abiding with Christ. So we're going to go to John 15. 1 through 8. So I want to read John 15, 1 through 8 for us. Yeah, the fruits of the Spirit are evidence of individuals abiding in Christ. Great. Of Christ abiding in individuals, I agree with you. Well, that's an important nuance, actually. Of Christ abiding in individuals. Well stated. Someone want to read John 15, 1 through 8. So the nuance there, I mean, Chris and I were both on the same page. We abide in Christ. Christ abides in us. I think both of those are really, really important as the scripture talks about. But the fruit of the Spirit is evidence of those abiding in Christ or Christ abiding in them. Okay? The third truth is that one that Michael brought up last week that I hadn't thought of, but I think is really, really true, which is that the fruit is produced not in part, but in whole of the believer. So all of the fruits of the Spirit are in the believer. Now they might, all nine are produced in the believer. Some might have more, be more evident in others, but when you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you will have all nine of these fruits. Okay? I think it's important when we start off to set the table that those three truths are really important. So what are the three truths? Number one. Right, this is a product of the Spirit. Number two. Right, evidence of those. Number three. All nine work at the same time. Okay? All nine work at the same time. So, we are going to focus on kindness today. And I think kindness, I really enjoyed this study this week. As I decided to think about kindness, because it's super easy for us to go, kindness, that's an easy one, right? But as I thought about it more and more, I wanted to dive into really what kindness is. So I ask you first, what does it mean to have kindness? Yes. Yeah. It's hard for her. Yeah. I think that what I would say is that all the fruits are in the believer. Some are more evident than others. Just like all of us have what I would call besetting sins. So there are sins that I struggle with that you don't struggle with. There are sins that you struggle with that other people don't struggle with. So each of us have a different set of besetting sins. I think each of us will manifest the fruits of the Spirit in different levels, but all of the levels do exist in the Christian. They are all evident at the same time, even though some will have higher evidentiary than others. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think we land at the same spot. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Totally agree. Totally agree. So what does it mean to have kindness? Yeah. Ooh, that's really good. Love in everyday workloads. That's wonderful. I love that. I love that. Where'd you read that? Table Talk. That's great. Other thoughts? Yeah. Yeah, that's good too. I like that too. Seeing the needs in others and helping them without taking credit. So, interesting enough, when we start talking about kindness and goodness, I don't know who has goodness next week, but the interesting thing is in Scripture, these words are very interchangeable. And so it's really unique to see in the fruits of the Spirit kindness and goodness together. I did a lot of study on this week, which means that Paul, in talking about this, means that there is a differentiation between kindness and goodness that we don't see in a lot of Scripture. Nick and I were having a conversation yesterday about this on the golf course, but still, we were talking about Scripture. And he was saying that goodness, that kindness is actually one of the, kindness rolls up to goodness, and that kindness is almost an umbrella for goodness, as well as tenderheartedness and loving careness. Nick also mentioned that kindness and tenderheartedness are actually synonymous, which I thought was an interesting take. When I, the best person that really delved into this for me was Alistair Begg, and Alistair Begg talked about the fact that kindness, and he got this from his professor, kindness is actually the inner workings of the heart, and goodness is the outer workings, which is interesting. I never thought about it that way. I always actually thought about it the opposite. Kindness being the inner workings of the heart and goodness being the outer workings. So in order for us to dive into kindness, I think the best path for us is to think about the character of God in kindness. So we're going to read several scriptures right now that talk about the character of God in kindness. And when we understand the character of God and his kindness, then we can better understand what we are to look like as Christians in kindness. Okay? So we are going to start with Psalm 145. If someone would read Psalm 1, we're going to do a lot of scripture today, so we're going to have to, so buckle up. Psalm 145, and the scripture is verses 8 through 17. Someone want to read that for us. And I want you to look at the Lord is. We're going to go back over the Lord is. So Psalm 145, 8 through 17. Ready, go. Oh, what great scripture. I love that. All right, the Lord is what? We see this several times in the scripture. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. That gracious and merciful, that's going to come up later. So we can even replace those gracious and merciful with kind. Okay? I don't think they're synonymous, but as we see more of this, we're going to see this over and over again. slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Once again, we see goodness and mercy. We see gracious, slow to anger. The Lord is, verse 13, faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. And the Lord is 17, righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. So we're going to see this as we go into more scripture, okay? I just thought that was such a pretty scripture that we needed to read it. Let's go to Hosea 11. Verses 1 through 4. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So what you're going to see is that as we read scriptures today, what you're going to see is that the kindness of his works is actually the kindness of his heart in his works. See what I'm saying? So that it says that that's in his works, right? I understand exactly what you're saying. But we are going to see that the Lord's kindness is actually his tender heart, is his hesed, okay? Which is actually in his heart that will be manifest in his works. It's an outworking of his heart, yes. Yes, great. Yeah, I get where you're going. Yeah. Okay, someone want to read for us Hosea 11, 1 through 4, please. First of all, a brief lesson on Hosea. Give me the gist of Hosea so that we can know the context here, right? Right. So Hosea is a tough book of the Bible, right? So we see Hosea, he marries a prostitute in order to, and that he buys that prostitute in order to show, and God uses this in order to show that Israel has become a prostitute. They have worshipped other gods. They have gone other ways. If Amos is a book about justice, Hosea is actually a book about his loving kindness in the midst of the idolatry of Israel. And he will not only destroy Israel, but he will also raise up Judah and save Judah. So it starts off with God saying, you are not my people, because Hosea's kids are named basically, you are not my people, you know, you have broken against me. But in the end of this, we see that God says, no, you are my people, and I'm your God, and you will have a remnant. Okay, so we see this in Hosea. Hosea's kind of a book about God's loving kindness in the midst of a lot of adultery of worship. So 11, 1 through 4, please. Woo. What does this say to us about God's loving kindness? What's that? Relentless, right? Also, we don't see that what God says is, I bent their arm until they followed me. It's not what he says. How does he lead them? In verse 4. I led them with cords of kindness and bands of love. Okay? Correct? He pursued them. He didn't, he pursued them with cords of kindness and bands of love. He wrapped them in cords of kindness and bands of love, not giving them what they deserved, but with mercy and grace because of the kindness and the love that he had. So we see once again a rebellious nation that God with kindness leads through the people. Okay? Let's go to Romans 2, 1 through 4. Romans 2, 1 through 4. So I want to read that for us. So before the scripture, we see in Romans that there is a list of all of the things that people do in their sinful nature. So evil, covetous, unrighteousness, malice. And so what we're seeing in this scripture is God says, hey, listen, Paul is saying, hey, listen, you judge those people who do all those evil things, but you do them yourselves. Okay? And what we see here in that last verse, in verse 4, what do we see? Do you presume the riches of his kindness and the forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is what? Meant to lead you to repentance. So it's actually in God's kindness where we are once again adulterers to worship. We reject God. And in his kindness, in the tenderness and kindness of his heart, it is meant to actually lead us to repentance. It's just like you were saying. It's actually the kindness that leads us to repentance. The kindness of God's heart. So we see once again, this is like the fourth time, that we see that we have an adulterous people, a people who hate God, and his kindness is actually what leads us to repentance. Okay? One more in the character of God. Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. And I'm going to ask all of you the theme that you're seeing here. Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. What are we going to see? Grace and kindness. So the most interesting part about this scripture is, when do we see this? Verse 7. In the coming ages, we might so. So in heaven, in glory, we're still going to be looking at each other and saying, how good, how kind was God to us? In heaven. How kind was God to us, showing the richness of his mercies and kindness. All right, so as we've gone through and looked at the character of God, what are the themes that we talk about, right? The themes are what? Who are the people of God that we see, or who are the people when we talk about, what are the people doing when God shows kindness? Rebelling. In every instance, rebelling. Rebelling, 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 rebelling. And in every instance, we see God does what? Shows the tender-hearted kindness of his heart. And he leads those people not through the arm wrestling, but through kindness, he leads us to repentance. Okay? So, as we understand the character of God, it makes it much easier for us to start thinking about, okay, what does kindness actually look like when we talk about the fruits of the Spirit? Because the fruits of the Spirit really are a manifestation of God's character. So when we think about kindness, we think about the fact that kindness is not meant for people who will show us gratitude or attitude. Because in kindness that we talk about in God, it's actually quite the opposite. There are the people who are rebelling against God that God shows kindness to and brings into himself. And so when we think about kindness, do we think about kindness in such a way that we manifest kindness to those people who are kind to us? Or do we try to manifest kindness in people who maybe won't show us gratitude or the proper attitude? Just like Christ. So, comments on that before we dive into more scripture. I mean, amen, welcome to the human experience, because I have had many of those myself, right? Where I stopped showing kindness because I wasn't getting the proper gratitude that I felt like I deserved because I showed kindness. Right? Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to talk about that scripture, actually. It's great. Yeah, Casey. Ooh. Talk in my language, Casey. Yeah. We're going to talk through this in the scripture on how we respond. But Casey, I think that's a really, really important point. And I think this is the point that I was trying to make earlier. Okay? Kindness is not the outward reacting in kindness in a given situation. Kindness is actually the inward disposition of our heart through the Spirit. That we do not, listen, and it may manifest itself in an outward expression of kindness, but it has to start here. It has to start with a tender love, a tender heartedness for not just God's people, but for any people, right? Because listen, you can go to a sports bar on a Saturday where Clemson's playing, and there's a whole bunch of Clemson fans in the room, and they're all going to be really kind to each other, right? Because they all care about each other, and it's really easy to be kind to everyone, Okay. Now, you put a South Carolina fan in there during Clemson, South Carolina. I don't know if they're all going to be kind to that Clemson, that South Carolina person, but nonetheless, we see kindness to people who are, we see kindness to other people in evidentiary in all of days, in all of life, right? But if we have the inner tenderheartedness of kindness, it's going to manifest itself in different ways. It's going to look at the needs and care and empathy and compassion of a person that maybe you don't like very much. And, you know, it's going to manifest itself in the way that we drive and the way that we talk because we have a tender-hearted care for someone else. Oh, and by the way, we just saw that that kindness, the kindness of God, is what leads people to repentance. So imagine what a world would look like as Christians if we put off our political ideologies and we put off all of the dissensions that we have, we put off even our hatred for the Iowa Hawkeyes, and we manifested, listen, that joke would have killed in Iowa. It would have killed in Iowa, okay? Right, thank you, fellow Midwesterner. If we put off those things and we really genuinely cared about the tenderness and kindness of a heart without thinking about gratitude or attitude of the person that we were being kind to. Let's go to Titus, which ironically enough is going to be Nick's sermon today. We are going to go to Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. This is going to be what that tenderheartedness of the heart manifests out. So we're going to go through several scriptures that talk about how we are going to be manifesting kindness. So Titus 1 through 9, please. Oh, this is important here. Go. Read 3 again. Amen. Where does it talk about the pouring out of kindness? What verse is that? Verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. This is the inner goodness, the loving kindness of God appeared. He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy. We see this once again. We are rebellious. We hate God. God is kind and saves us. And so we are to do the same to those who are rebellious. This is a great scripture. We should, once again, I think last time I talked to you all, I said, this is a scripture we should probably read every day up until election. Right? Just read it over and over and over again. And then after election, too. It's not like this all stops once election's over. Okay? Arguably, it could get worse. So, Luke 6. I think this was already mentioned today. Luke 6, verses 32 through 36. This one's a tough one, kids. Buckle up. This one's a tough one. I always have a hard time with this one. 32 through 36. I'm going to read that for us. This is why we do expository preaching, where we go through each scripture every week, because nobody wants to read this one. This one's a cruddy one. And I love it that it's in the scripture, because this is exactly how we should be. But this is very, very difficult to manifest in real life. And this is something that I pray about, because there are people that I mean, all of you know, there are people you don't like. And God has absolutely changed my heart because I prayed for them. I prayed for them. And there's no reason why I should have a kindness toward these people who hate me. And yet, God, through his mercy, has changed my heart that I would actually be kind to those people who hate me. Kind to the people who want ill from me, my enemies, who would destroy me if they could. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be called sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. By the way, that's you too. You are ungrateful and you are evil, and he was kind to us. I'm not saying you, I'm saying us. I'm not perfect, okay? Let's go to one of the best shows of kindness in Ruth. And actually, before we flip there, we're running out of time a little bit. Actually, I think we have time. Let's go to Ruth. Ruth 2, 1 through 20, please. Everyone know the story of Ruth and Boaz? I know there's a lot of young women in here looking for a Boaz. So I want to read 2 through 1 through, this is going to be a longer one, but 1 through 20. perfect. Thank you. It's great. Thank you. All right. So who showed kindness to Ruth? The Lord or Boaz? Both. Yes. Both. And how did Boaz show kindness? Some water to drink, place to sleep, allowing her to work, keeping her from trouble, right? Don't go over there. That's dangerous. Stay here. You're thirsty? Have some water. You're hungry? Have some food. You want to work? Work for me. So we see in Boaz's kindness and tenderheartedness for someone else, we see that Boaz showed kindness and that the Lord showed kindness. And this is how it should work. Okay? It's actually not in the grand gestures that I think Scripture tells us to be kind. It's in the small menial tasks, right? I'm convicted of this as well, by the way, because I will go and show kindness to my coworkers, and then I will come home, and I will be annoyed that I have to unload the dishwasher when my wife asks me to. Okay? That's not kindness. Okay? I think God gives us opportunity to, in being tender-hearted for those who are put in our community, to love and care for them without having to think about how am I going to get back from this, or did they send me a thank you note, and if they didn't, I'm not doing it again. It's actually quite the opposite. We see that the character of God is that he shows kindness in those who are rebellious, and that is the tender-hearted nature of God, and that is how we are to show kindness to each other. Wrong. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. You see this manifested. I mean, you're right. Ruth and Boaz is probably the prime example of this. That this is, there's no reason for any of them to have kindness. And yet, because people were kind to them, they then manifested kindness to others. Just as we're called to do. Just as we're called to do. Okay? So I thought, any final thoughts before we end in prayer on kindness? Yeah. Coincidentally, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you don't know. I mean, the thing that I think resonated with me most as I was studying for this week is that actually God says over and over again, my kindness and tenderheartedness will lead people to repent. And in our kindness and tenderheartedness toward others, it is potentially the way that God will use us to lead others to repent. That he may be regenerating their heart, and our loving kindness toward them at that moment might be the way with which God uses to bring them to faith. And if any of you have ever had the awesome and beautiful experience of watching someone be born again, you will crave it. I had this experience in my life, and it is one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given me. That I got to watch a man that I knew who was living in depravity be regenerate and is now a night and day person. And honestly, as I think back on it, I had a moment where I had the ability to be really kind to him, and I was, and that created a friendship that has lasted for many years, before he was a believer, as well as after. So God will present these things to you in time. Let me close this in prayer.